welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. How are you?
Maureen or John, I'm very well. Yes, coming to you from Wellington today.
Nice one. Now, obviously, the hikoi has taken place down there and tens of thousands of people have gathered in Wellington. What does the size and energy of this protest signal about the current political climate in Aotearoa?
Yes, it signals that there's a huge sensitivity about treaty issues, race relations, ethnicity, and about where this government's going. So, of course, the hikoi represented one side of that debate, and it was a pretty huge one, pretty visible. I went and checked it out on the day and spent a few hours there, and I was quite amazed by the numbers. It was initially being reported as something like 17,000 by RNZ. It's a bit hard to tell these things because, you know, when you've got a lot of people, you can't really easily kind of count one by one. But the latest sort of police figures put it in the 40,000s, perhaps as high as 47,000, and some other observers thought it was higher than that. Certainly, I think it was definitely in the 40,000s. So it really, you know, is one of the biggest protests in New Zealand political history, certainly the biggest in the capital's history. So quite a significant day, and I think something that will change the political landscape.
Wow. Now there is a obviously a divide in the response to the protests, with some politicians downplaying the turnout, while others consider it to be a major political event. How do you assess the different political responses to this large scale demonstration?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be the case that those that are sympathetic to it want to inflate the numbers and inflate the meaning, and opponents want to downplay it. So this is a issue that's very much split along government parties and opposition parties. So you've clearly got Te Pāti Māori that played quite a big leadership role in this march, but also the Greens and Labour to a lesser extent being pretty strong supporters of it. Then, of course, you've got ACT, with David Seymour being the main opposition to this, you know, because it is all about David Seymour's Treaty Principles Bill. And, of course, New Zealand First and National are somewhat supportive of the bill. Indeed, they've voted for it at its first reading, but they say they won't vote for it in subsequent readings, and they have been quite critical of the bill and don't really think it's in the best interests of New Zealand. So, it's sort of an old-fashioned left-right divide, but really with those in the middle feeling a bit more squashed by it, and those on the kind of more radical flanks, Te Pāti Māori and ACT, being the real winners from this.
Te Pāti Māori have suggested the protest represents a blow to the government. How do you think the political fallout from this event will affect the current coalition government?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, public opinion is still really the big issue here. And you can have a big march that involves 40,000 or maybe even 90,000, and it may still just represent a small minority of the population. We don't know that. We know there's been polling done in recent months on the treaty bill. The last one I saw actually said that 46% of voters are in favour of Seymour's bill, and something like 25% are against it, with the rest being undecided. That might well change, you know, next time we see such a poll. Certainly I think there'll be fewer undecided people. We might see some of those undecided people going over to opposition to the bill. But I think you can say that it's probably a fairly even divide. We've got quite a polarised New Zealand at the moment over this. You know, regardless of whether people on either side really understand exactly what treaty principles are or what the Treaty Principles Bill is trying to do, they've got a gut instinct, I think, for whether want to roll out and increase rights and involvement of iwi and Māori in governance, or if you think it's gone too far and it needs to be rolled back a bit. So, yeah, it's a fascinating issue.
How do you view the role of protest in shaping political discourse in Aotearoa, and do you think it's effective in influencing policy?
Oh, look, it is. I think it's really important. One of my big regrets or disappointments about New Zealand politics is there isn't enough participation in politics. You know, that's what democracy is about. You need to have more protests. You need to have more people involved in debates and, you know, joining political parties, voting, and that's all been on the decline in recent years. So, yeah, I think protest is an incredibly powerful, important way. And, when I went along to the Hikoi this week on Tuesday, it was quite an amazing vibe of people being interested in politics, being just really interested in the issues involved. And I think wanting a sense of community and participation and connection with other people, which we don't often have in politics in New Zealand.
What's been the government's response to the protests so far? Have they addressed any of the concerns raised by iwi or the protesters?
Well, from, you know, the main government partner, National's point of view, they haven't really engaged that much, but they've indicated a willingness to be engaged. But they keep on reiterating that they are going to kill the bill. That yes, the protests want the bill killed, and that they will vote it down at the next reading. But of course, what a lot of the protesters want is that for the bill to be killed off now, and not have this long select committee process of people debating it. So I think National feel like they've got a strong answer to that. That they are. Now they're listening and sympathetic to the protests. It's really ACT that are, you know, totally opposed to. Well, they are, you know, totally at variance or the opposition to these protests. And I think they'll probably go up in the polls because of that, as will Te Pāti Māori and maybe the Greens.
Now, one last question for you, Bryce. Given the widespread support for the protests from various iwi and communities, what do you think the government's response should be moving forward to address the underlying issues raised by the Hikoi?
Oh, that's a hard one, Johnny, because I think they do have to listen to it, and they have to find a way to get across to Te Ao Māori that they, that they want to involve iwi in this, even though they have, carried through with this bill so far. There's huge polarisation going on at the moment. I think they also have to listen to other parts of New Zealand that are uncomfortable with co-governance and other parts. So, you know, National really needs to play a unifying role in this, and I think that's what they want to do. Whether Luxon is up to that task or not is another question.
We've had a text through saying that the treaty bill was the last nail in the coffin from the government after all the changes they've made in the last year. Do you think this is the case?
Certainly, I think the Hikoi was about more than the treaty principles bill. It was an opposition to. Well, just about everything the government's done, but also particularly, rolling back on some DREO in government departments and lots of other sort of rollbacks of treaty and Māori rights. So, but then there was a lot of people that also were protesting just generally about what the government's doing in terms of economics, in terms of other social programs in education, health. So it became kind of the resistance, if you like, to everything the government is doing. Watch the space, because I don't think that they're going to stop.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, Bryce Edwards.
Thanks,
we'll
Johnny.
Check in with you in a couple of weeks' time. Cheers, mate.
Okay, nice. Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.